From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. In the course of these studies, Dr. Cairns is giving some practical insights into the reality of true faith and how it manifests itself in the lives of God's people. The second message in the series is called The Twin Pillars of Faith. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, What to Leave Children. The text is Proverbs 20, verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Anxiety about our family is natural, but we shall be wise if we turn it into care about our own character. If we walk before the Lord in integrity, we shall do more to bless our descendants than if we bequeath them large estates. A father's holy life is a rich legacy for his sons. The upright man leaves his heirs his example, and this in itself will be a mine of true wealth. How many men may trace their success in life to the example of their parents? He leaves them also his repute. Men think all the better of us as the sons of a man who could be trusted, the successors of a tradesman of excellent repute. Oh, that all young men were anxious to keep up the family name! Above all, he leaves his children his prayers and the blessing of a prayer-hearing God, and these make our offspring to be favored among the sons of men. God will save them even after we are dead. Oh, that they might be saved at once! Our integrity may be God's means of saving our sons and daughters. If they see the truth of our religion proved by our lives, it may be that they will believe in Jesus for themselves. Lord, fulfill this word to my household.
Extol thee, bending wings.
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his second message in a series on the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews 11 sums up the lives of many of the Old Testament saints with the simple phrase, by faith, so it is often called faith's hall of fame. In the course of this series, Dr. Cairns will apply the faith of the various characters to the lives of Christ's people in our day. Before dealing with the individuals named in the chapter, Dr. Cairns is laying the groundwork for the study. The message currently is called The Twin Pillars of Faith, taking Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 as the text. In the course of this message, we see that there is God's witness to the faith of His people. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, biblical faith is not simply an acknowledgement of certain facts. It is a wholehearted embracing of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. God witnesses to the genuineness of that faith, to the exercise of it, and in this chapter, to the exploits of true faith. Then we'll see that true faith gives understanding to the mind. It does something that mere education cannot do.
The Old Testament believers were saved by faith. But notice this. The world wants to emphasize what men do. It wants to think that men are because of what they do. And the world celebrates wondrous exploits. And of course, this carries over into the religious realm. And there is the notion that if you do enough, then God is going to be mightily pleased with it. Oh, that we would learn this morning that the very first thing the Lord is interested in your life is the existence of faith in Jesus Christ. You may boast about what you've done, about the churches you belong to, about the spiritual interest that you've taken and all the rest of it, but the Lord is looking for the one thing first and foremost, and that is a living, saving faith in Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It's important to me that I'm a Presbyterian. It's important to me that I'm a Protestant. It's important to me that I'm a receiver of Reformed theology, what they call the doctrines of grace. Though, mind you, I don't really like to hear people muttering that little phrase. They have made it nearly into, I'll not go into that. But anyway, those things are important to me. But there are people who had all those things and they're in hell today. I personally have met people and they were all that I have said. But they were without Christ. The Bible never says, be a good Presbyterian and you'll get to heaven. It never says, be a good Calvinist and you'll get to heaven. But it does say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God is looking for faith. And where he doesn't find the existence of saving faith, he finds a soul that's lost. First thing he witnesses to is their faith. But having said that, he also witnesses to the exercise of their faith. Now what I've been saying is very important, that he witnesses to faith before works. But if he sees faith, you may gather from Hebrews 11, that he also witnesses to that faith by and through their works. In other words, a faith that doesn't work is absolutely unbiblical. James puts it very well. He says, you tell me your faith. Well, you show me your faith by your works. The idea that you can believe in Christ, but it doesn't affect what you do. This easy believism, and that's the real meaning of easy believism, that it's simply an intellectual exercise, simply a decision of the mind, something that may be taken in a moment, but it does not vitally affect what you do and how you live. That easy believism is an absolute travesty of the gospel. And I fear that there are thousands and thousands of souls across this nation who have been conned by foolish preachers into thinking that they're saved by this decision or that decision. And they say, yes, we believe, but it's a belief that never produces action. And all the time they're going to a lost hell. This 11th chapter of Hebrews is a vital proof that when you believe, that belief will work. And then the third thing, very close to that, is his witness to the exploits of their faith. Now these exploits here in Hebrews 11 are great exploits, and you'll notice that in almost every case, if not every case indeed, these exploits were done amidst awful trials. That's what makes them exploits. You see, the Lord knows the trials of his people. It's interesting to me that through faith, the elders obtained their report in the fire of persecution, of trial, the severest test that men can undergo. Now, that'll tell you something about faith, by the way. Faith lifted them above the immediate to the eternal. The man who has real faith does not live for the immediate. That's the world's way. That's why the world is going mad in the pleasure crazes of this age. It's the immediate. To the worldly mind, heaven is just pie in the sky. I want mine now. Where do you find that in Scripture? Luke chapter 15, the prodigal comes to his father and he says, in effect, Lord, I want it now. Give me mine now. I don't want life hereafter. I'm not interested in what's down the road. I'm not thinking of eternity. I'm thinking of now. That's the worldly mind. And of course, the paradox is that it doesn't get anything now. If you don't have life for the hereafter, you've still only got death now, and what the world thinks is life is far from it. But faith lifts them above the immediate to the eternal. Faith lifts them above the visible to the invisible. Faith lifts them above the tangible to the spiritual. That is the operation of faith. And when faith does those things, then it will perform exploits. I want you to get this very, very simply. We sometimes read these stories of great men and we say, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could do this and I wish I could do the other thing. You know, you may not do what any of these people did because the Lord may not place you in those particular circumstances, but you can certainly do things of the same significance, of the same importance, and certainly for the same glory of the same God. But how can we do them? I don't feel like a Moses or an Abraham, maybe a Jacob in his worst moments, but I don't feel like any of these great people. So how can I ever hope to do exploits? By faith. By a faith that is lifting me out of the immediate, lifting me beyond that which the eyes can see, lifting me beyond that which the hands can touch, and fixing and focusing my heart and my mind, my motivation, my desires, my everything on my God, my Savior, and his glory. And I tell you, when God's people begin to live for eternity, then in time they begin to do exploits. This is the Lord's witness to his people's faith. He witnesses to its existence, its exercise, and indeed to its exploits. So God believes in the faith of his people. The second thing is that faith believes in God. So here's faith witnessing to God. Now, verse 3 says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Notice right up at the top of the verse, through faith we understand. Faith gives understanding. That's why the psalmist said, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now, he may have a PhD, but he's still a fool. I remember when a Plymouth Brethren assembly in Belfast, which had access right to a main street, everybody walking up and down had to go past the front gates, and they had a glass case with an open Bible in it. And they used to turn to a text every day and put a little red marker at that text. This particular day, and maybe they let it stand for a week even, the text was, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I well remember the letters to the editor in the Belfast Telegraph, and the correspondence that was carried on, the bitterness of people, these would-be atheists who had gone to school for a day or two and thought that they knew more than God Almighty. How dare anybody call me a fool? Do they not know how much I know? Man, I want to tell you, when a man does not know God, he knows nothing. No matter what his learning. Faith is what gives understanding. Now, we're not anti-educational. There's a place for education, and there are other places in Scripture that would strongly commend the pursuit of appropriate education. But never for a minute think that education gives understanding. There's no fool on earth as bad as an educated fool. He's a more dangerous fool than an uneducated fool. I have met people who are chock full of various bits of information. And they have the intellectual apparatus to learn many facts. But they haven't the understanding of even a child. They haven't the wisdom. It's faith that gives understanding. It's a living, vital contact with the living God that gives understanding. I have known people who, as far as education could go, could do little more than read this Bible. In fact, I have known people who, to tell the honest truth, couldn't read the whole Bible. And they stuttered and they stumbled and they mispronounced many of the big words and names of the Bible. But when it comes to an understanding of the God of that Bible, I would put them streets ahead of many a person whose education in the Bible far outstrips theirs. Now, there's no reason why the two shouldn't go together, why you shouldn't have the education and the faith. No reason at all. I'm not glorifying lack of education. But I'm simply saying that that which opens the mind is not a conglomeration of facts. It is faith. It is faith.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.